Yes, so we'll review and continue.
What?
So we were discussing last week the machlokes in the Gemara, the different levels of lighting. The Erishu Beis, one candle per household. Mahadrin, if you have 10 in your household, 10 every day. And then Mahadrin, so that was that we had a dispute what Mahadrin means. We'll get to in a minute. But the Gemara gave two reasons for each. The Gemara gave either you go by what day it is or what day is left according to Beis Hillel Beis Shammai. Well, we had two reasons. Beis Hillel said, Malin Bekodesh, we have a general rule, we go up in sanctity, we don't go down. Therefore, we put on towels, then tefillin. And then the other reason is Keneged Pari Achag, that just like on Sukkot, they used to go in descending order in terms of bringing the sacrifices for the world, so too on Sukkot we do. So too on Chanukah we do. What's the link between Sukkot and Chanukah? Well, there are many, but one is that we have a principle called Rabbanan Ke'ein Daraisa Tikkun. Every rabbinic law is patterned after a biblical law. So Sukkot is the 8-day biblical holiday. Chanukah is the 8-day rabbinic holiday. The other difference is, at least back in the Gemara, and maybe if you're in Israel, the mitzvah is done outside. Sukkot is outside, yeah.
If you were going to have Keneged Pari Achag for 8 days, wouldn't the 8th day be dropping back down to one?
Look, it never makes...
It's different from all the others. But on Hanukkah, even Beit Shammai wouldn't... I guess he would be capping that.
So. Yeah, I'm saying, yeah, so in terms of... That's okay, good. And then as well, another distinction is because you need this halacha of 20 amas high. The sukkah cannot be over the schach, but the sukkah can't be over 20 amas high because the mitzvah of sukkah is to sit in the sukkah and l'man yedu dorasechem, and to remember. But by Chanukah, the point is people could walk by and see it. So therefore, there are links between sukkahs and Chanukah. And then, so we pointed out that the machlokes, the Rambam versus the Bali Tosfos on what is considered Mahadrim and Mahadrim, because it's not clear what the third, it's clear the first level is one candle per household, it's clear the second level is 10 every day, but it's not clear is what is Mahadrim and Mahadrim mean. So according to the Rambam, it means you times the day versus the amount of candles. So therefore, according to the Rambam, it would be 10 times 80. It would be 10, 20, and you end up with 80 candles the last night of Hanukkah. And according to Tosfos, you only got one menorah per household. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So it's a fundamental machlokes Rambam and Tosfos on what is Mahadrim and Mahadrim. According to Rambam, you end up with 80 candles. According to Tosfos, you end up with 8. Seems to be a debate, Ashkenaz versus Svard. Svardim light one menorah per household, and therefore they end up with, they only have 8 candles the last night of Hanukkah. And then you have the Bali, the Rambam, which says 80, which seems to be the view of the Ashkenaz. We'll get to why it's a little different. But so that's the machlokes, 80 versus 8. Rambam says 80, that's Ashkenaz. Everyone lights a menorah per member of the family. And according to the Svardim, you only light one. So, what's the issue? What's in the Kudas HaMachlokes? So we said the Be'er HaGra explains those are the two opinions in the Gemara for the reason for Beis Hillel. If you assume you go Keneged, if you go with Malin Bekodesh Ve'ei Morid, then the main thing is to go up. So therefore, the more the merrier. So therefore, according to the Rambam, you attract more attention if someone sees 80 candles and 8, and they'll think, what's going on? Oh, it's Chanukah. Okay, so you remember about the mitzvah of Chanukah. But according to Tosfos, the issue is to know what day of Chanukah, each day was a miracle. Today's 1, 2, 3. And therefore, in presuming Nisa, it's not enough to know what day it is. It's not enough to know it's Chanukah. You have to know the specific date. So, Lamaisa, we Ashkenaz combine both. Today we have menorahs anyway. So even if you lit them together, everyone, if you see the menorah, you know what day it is. But if you didn't have menorahs, so let's say you'd light one candle here, one at a different window, in order that, therefore we cover the Rambam that we have a candle per member, but we also light each, and we got aftosis that it's distinct what night it is. The practically speaking, if you light a menorah, it doesn't make a difference, Bob. But anyway, today it's a different mitzvah. We light for the people inside, not for the people outside. So you know anyway, yeah.
Nobody's asking, but lights today, like the Rambam with the 80 late night with it. 10 per day. There's nobody today
that says what?
Has a menorah that actually contains all 10. I'm with the person. So tonight,
you
could like chant 10 candles.
Yeah, I mean, there's. Yeah, no, well, not that so the menorah has. Not no.
Everyone.
Yeah, what do you mean? That's the. Not the specific menorah, but there are 10 candles being lit in the house.
Okay, you have 10 people.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Assuming the 10, yeah, that's the Minhag Ashkenaz.
No, I understand, but as far as having one person lighting 10 candles.
Oh, no, I'll get to that in right now.
Okay.
So that's the fundamental. So Sfardim go with one menorah. So 1, 2 doesn't make a difference. You, and therefore, less fire the better. But however, it's not, as I mentioned, our minig isn't really like the Rambam. That's what Avi's getting at. The Rambam clearly states the head of the household lights all 80 candles, while our minig is everyone lights their own menorah, their own candle. So what's the difference? What forced the Rambam to say that only the head of the household could light the candle, as versus our, and as I pointed out, la halacha, everyone keep continually doing it, but it's a difficult Ramah. Some write, it's a bracha levatala, that because, like, where does the Ramah get? First of all, the Ramah never wrote it. He just said everyone should write. Everyone should light, and the assumption is you make your own bracha. The Ramah didn't actually say those words. But the minhag Yisrael is every person, when they light their own menorah, makes their own bracha and continue that.
But I presume you mean every person who is capable of lighting candles, because a 2-year-old is not lighting candles, and a 90-year-old might not be lighting candles because of the danger to their person. So everyone in the household is capable of lighting candles.
Well, then there'll be a further debate: does someone light for that incapable person?
Right.
So obviously, physically speaking, yes, I would not recommend the 2-year-old lighting. But whether you lie for a 2-year-old, that we could, you know, that intelligent people could debate whether we add another candle for them or not.
Right.
So for those who add on for Ne'er Shabbos, every time you have another child, perhaps that's where the minute came from Hanukkah. But either way, so what's the issue here? So there's a famous brisk rav that the Gemara talks about in Shabbos, the 19th parak by Mila. It talks about there's certain types of, in order to fulfill your mitzvah, there's certain parts of the skin you have to cut off to fulfill the mitzvah of circumcision. And other parts, if you don't do it, you still get the mitzvah, but you're lacking in zek keli vanveil, you're lacking in hider mitzvah. This is, like any mitzvah, there's an optimal way of doing it, and then there's a bidyeved way. So the Gemara talks about, let's say, so obviously if you're in the middle of doing the bris milah, or I should say, if you finish doing the bris milah and you realize you didn't do the mitzvah properly, meaning you didn't fulfill your mitzvah, you cut the, then obviously you have to go back and do it because you haven't done anything. That's pretty clear. What about if I did the ones I had to do or an obstacle that sits in my akvim, but I forgot the extra one, so. So the Gemara says, if you're in the middle of doing the bris milah, meaning so you haven't had the bagel and lox yet, it's still, the bris is still on, so then you go back and you do ahead and you do the tzitzin she'einam akvin. But if you already finished the bris milah, whatever finish means, and so then you do not go back. That's the Gemara. So the question is, why don't you go back? So the way Rashi learns the Gemara and others is, you don't go back. You know why you don't go back? Because it's Shabbos. And on Shabbos, really, you wouldn't be able to do a bris milah at all. If we didn't have the mitzvah of milah, the act involved in doing a bris would be chil Shabbos daraisa. You'd be making a chabura, making a wound. So the only reason you're allowed to do the bris is because to fulfill the mitzvah of milah. You already fulfilled the mitzvah of milah. You're only going back to fulfill zek keli vanveil hider mitzvah. You're not allowed to violate Shabbos for hider mitzvah. That seems to be the opinion of Rashi. But that seems to be the pshuto. But comes along the Rambam and says, ben b'Shabbos, ben b'Chol. Whether this is happening on Shabbos or you have a bris today, you would not go back for the tzitz and sheinim malachim. The question is, why in the world not? I understand on Shabbos, no going back. There's a lot of downside. But on, during the week, what's the downside? Like, why not fulfill Zekei Levan Veyo? So what's the issue? So the Briska Rav explains as follows. He says, because what's the issue? What's this machlokas here by Mila between Rashi and the Rambam, which is actually, you know, the machlokas Rambam and Rama as well. I think the Rama quotes like Rashi. He fastens like Rashi that we don't go back on Shabbos. We wouldn't go back, but we would go back during the week. Is how do you review Hiddur Mitzvah? When we say there's a concept, let's say you have a, whether it's a mitzvah, milah, or any other mitzvah, let's say you have a core mitzvah, whatever the mitzvah may be, and then there's a hirda mitzvah, there's a way of doing it in the optimal way to do it, you know, whether it's esrog, you know, whatever mitzvah we're talking about, we'll come back to esrog. We're going to cover all the briskers, not all of them, we'll cover the three famous ones. Rav Chaim, the Beis HaLevi was the oldest, his son was Rav Chaim, and his son was the Briska Rav. So they each build on the other one's Torah. So usually briskas work independently. Here they're quoting other Gemaras to bring to tie it into the mitzvah. So he says, how do you view, does Hiddur Mitzvah only have value when it's connected to the Maisa Mitzvah itself, when it's connected to the mitzvah itself? Or no? Does Hiddur Mitzvah make sense even independently? Could I do a Hiddur Mitzvah without the regular mitzvah? So that's the machlokas here. The Rambam Shita is, Hiddur Mitzvah only makes sense in the context of the Maisa Mitzvah. If I'm involved, I can't have a Hiddur Mitzvah Mila without doing the Mitzvah Mila now. When does the Hiddur Mitzvah make sense? If I'm involved in doing the Mitzvah Mila, and now I'm still doing, and I remember I didn't do the Sitz and Shena Ma'akvin, then it makes sense to go back. Once I fulfill my Mitzvah Mila, I can't just go back and do Hiddur Mitzvah if there's no value. Like, 3 weeks later, I'll start cutting off some others. That's Hiddur Mitzvah only makes sense in the context when you're involved in the mitzvah. And the Rashi holds, no. Hiddur Mitzvah is independent. There's an independent concept of Hiddur Mitzvah. Independent of the mitzvah itself, it has value on its own right. So that's the machlokas. The Rambam holds it only makes sense to connect it. So therefore, how could I go back? Because I'm causing damage. When you cut the Sitz and Shena Ma'akvin, you're causing harm. You maybe it's even usher according to the Rambam, because if I'm not getting a Hiddur Mitzvah, I won't be able to go back, because I'm causing harm to someone and there's no value. So at best, you shouldn't go back. Maybe it's usher to go back, because Hiddur Mitzvah only makes sense in the context of the Mitzvah. Rashi holds, no, the Ramah. No, Hiddur Mitzvah makes sense independently as well. So therefore, you would go back. You do the bris on Shabbos. Sunday, you go back and you finish off the job. There's still a Zekei Leveo is an independent mitzvah. So it comes along. So that's the mitzvah by Mila. So that's what the Beis HaLevi said by... The Beis HaLevi said this by Mila. Comes along the Briska Rav and says, this machlok is Rambam and Rashi by bris Mila, will explain by Ner Chanukah. What's the connection to Ner Chanukah? This is the machlokas here. The Rambam holds the Bala Bayis lights all 80 candles. And the Rama says each person lights their own candles. What forced the Rambam to say that the Bala Bayis lights all 80? Because this is the machlokas. How do you view, does Hiddur Mitzvah only make sense connected to the Maisa, connected to the person doing the mitzvah, or even as value independently? The Rambam, consistent with his view, says it only makes sense when it's connected to the actual mitzvah. So who is doing the actual mitzvah? Only one person, as we explained. The Rambam sheet, the Gemara says, near issue beso, if you lit one candle on Chanukah, you fulfill your mitzvah. The next 79 are Hiddur mitzvah. So who's doing the mitzvah? Only the Balabayas. Only he can do the Hiddur mitzvah. Because it only makes sense to someone who's involved in the Maisa Mitzvah. So Rambam says it specifically has to be the Bala Bayis. But the Rama goes with Rashi, consistent with his view. No, Hiddur Mitzvah makes sense independently, and therefore, no. I could. Every person is making their own Hiddur Mitzvah, and this could tie on another issue. Can you make a bracha on a Hiddur Mitzvah? So if we learn like the Briska Rav, so according to Rashi, you can make a bracha on a Hiddur Mitzvah, because that's what everyone's doing. Because once you once the second person lights, the main mitzvah is already fulfilled. Unless, you know, unless of course you want to argue that that's what people that that's unless you want to argue with the Briska Rav and say that no, that that's good for the machlokes here. Is by near Hanukkah, is it a chovet? Is it a unique mitzvah different than all other mitzvahs? It's like the mitzvah mezuzah. It's a mitzvah on the house. Once the house has a menorah, and the mitzvah is over. Or do I say no? It's a chovet gavra. I have to do it in the house, but I have to do it. And what's the practical difference is? Could I have kavana not to? Well, I'm not going to have kavana to listen to your mitzvah now. In other words, the question is, when the second person does it, is he doing hiddur mitzvah or is he doing the regular mitzvah? It would depend on this issue. If it's an obligation on the house, once the house has a menorah lit, who cares about what your kavanah is? The mitzvah is over, and therefore your kavanah is, and therefore you'd only be doing a hiddur mitzvah. But if you hold a no, it's a chovas gavra, it's an independent. So therefore, the fact that my father lit doesn't stop me, I'm not just getting the hiddur, that gets into whether. So, and
that's
a really
hard position to take, though, considering that the Gemara is very explicit. Now, Yishuveto as Yetzer.
You're saying which position is difficult?
It's very much Chesed.
Right, you're saying is that near issue. It seems, right. So that touches on another issue. Is what when they do Mahajim and Ahajim, did they change that and saying? Did they just say it stays near Yeshua Bezo? That's the Machlokes Tosfos and the Rambam. The Rambam holds. Tosfos holds it's going on near Yeshua Bezo, so fundamentally the mitzvah is. And others say no. But we look at Mahajan and we see the nature of the mitzvah change. And some claim further, even if you hold Bizman HaGemar, some claim Bizman HaZeh the mitzvah changed. When you were lighting outside, then you could say it was a Chovas HaBayis. Today you're lighting inside, the mitzvahs of B'nai HaBayis, not for them. But that's a, that, and there are other practical differences we'll get into. But, you know, but good, but nice observation, yeah.